The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's if you listened to Brian Gutekunst yesterday, talk about the Green Bay Packers after the trade deadline came and went and they sent Preston Smith to the Steelers. Maybe you heard what we heard, which was things are good. Everything's good. We're not panicking. Things are good with the defensive line and the pressures, with the quarterback who has thrown a league-leading interception rate so far. We're good. Let's take a listen to Brian Gutekunst. We talked about how he didn't think there was a lot of talent available at the trade deadline, so that's why they didn't add anything. But let's hear him talk about the evolution of, or the evaluation of Jordan Love's play this year.
Yeah, good. Obviously, he's had a little bit of some interruptions with the missing some time and working through injuries and stuff. But, he's really unflappable. He's kind of the same guy every day. His focus is you know, really, really good. I think, you know, our offense has been very, very explosive at times because of him, you know, and others as well, but very much because of him. Again, I think we as a football team are still – you know, we're very much working into a complete team and a team that can win situational football, and we're not there yet. But now I think he's played very well.
Chewy, you are back with us for the second hour of the show. Your reaction to what Goody said about how Jordan has performed this season?
Well, I want to address this because I heard bits and pieces of you guys with Shefty in the last segment. The one thing I do respect about LaFleur and Goody, and they do blow a lot of smoke, is they don't call players out in the media, which I totally agree with. I mean, their sell job is average at best, but I do hope, and today's player is a lot different. They're a lot more sensitive today than back when I played. I do hope they are holding him accountable in meetings and shooting him straight and saying, this isn't good enough, you know, especially with the D-line. That I would think that they're doing, and I hope that they're doing, but I do not like, and no player likes being called out in the media. If you're going to rip me in a meeting room or wherever, but don't do it through the media. That doesn't serve anyone any good. So from that standpoint, I'm fine with it. This team is going to go as Jordan goes. Jordan can overcome the poor play of the defensive line, okay? But this offense, when they're playing good teams, is going to have to score 30. If they go to Ford Field in a month and score 21 points, that ain't going to get it done, folks. That ain't going to get it done, and this offense is not playing great. He's got to get to the point where this offense can score 35 points because Detroit can at the drop of a hat. So he can, Jordan Love alone, as the highest paid player in this league, that's what we expect, can overcome the deficiencies of the offense, and that's what we thought was going to have to happen this year. And it's not trending that way. So it's got to get better. The season's not over by any stretch, but don't tell me they're playing good. Don't tell me they're playing good, because I measure teams playing good when they play good teams. That's how I measure them.
And fair that enough. Would be, so what, 1-2? 1-2 for the Packers. You know, they've got the win against the Houston Texans, and then, well, I guess 1-3, yeah. You probably have to throw the Eagles in there too. Right. So losses to the Eagles, Vikings, Lions.
Let me ask you guys this. If the defense plays well against the Bears, what is that going to tell you?
Oh, the Bears offense is struggling, yeah.
Big deal.
If they play against the 49ers, who are presumably going to be pretty healthy by the time you play on the 24th, okay, now you've got my attention.
I'm fine with it. But I need this offense to play better and the defense, obviously, to play better, but I don't expect the defense to play great. I'm sorry. The D-line is what it is, okay? I don't expect them to play great against good teams, but the offense I do expect to play great against good teams because you saw it last year. We're just waiting.
It sounds like you're talking about complimentary football, and it sounds like you're saying with this defensive line, it's a bit of a pipe dream. Jordan's going to have to pick up the slack. The offense is going to have to pick up the slack.
Yes.
And I think the hope was when Jeff Hafley went in there, guys, that it would be more balanced, that the offense and defense would kind of carry their own share of the load and not have to burden one side or the other side, Gabe.
I think Hafley's doing everything he can. Right? They're creating turnovers, which certainly help.
Yes.
When your defense struggles to get stops and struggles to get pressure and get those sacks, we know what the numbers say if you get a sack and the likelihood of it stopping a drive. Getting the turnovers is the next best thing. And it's tougher to get those turnovers, as we saw, against a really good team like Detroit. But if you have a defense that can force those, that's always something at least you have. Okay, you know what? We do have an opportunistic team. If the chance is there, we're going to take advantage of it. You didn't have that under Joe Barry. You've got that with this defense, even though the front four is suspect.
So now I want to hear from Goody. Go ahead, Chu.
Jen, you know what's very important when you make chicken soup? One ingredient that is really important.
The carrots?
You need the chicken.
Celery.
You need the chicken. They don't have the chicken. So Halfley's got to put this thing together like he did. What was the game where he was fantastic? Was that Arizona?
He was really good. Zone? Houston. Against Houston. Halfley was spectacular.
That. Yeah. You can't do that every week, though. Sometimes the players just have to play and make plays. You can't draw up schemes like that week in and week out. The coaching in this league is too good. Sometimes the players got to be like, all right, we're running base defense. We got to win. And we haven't seen that.
Yeah, the base defense, it's going to struggle against the run. It's going to struggle to get pressure. And you can only do the fire zone, create pressure stuff so much.
So again, let's go back to the Jordan Love aspect of it. And I know that they are sort of dovetailing here at this intersection. But Jordan Love has to play better. We all have said that. Especially if the defense, and by Gabe's analysis, got worse yesterday by shipping Preston Smith off. That puts more pressure on the young quarterback's shoulders. Let's hear from Goody how he feels about the decision making from his quarterback this season.
Are you happy with the decisions he's making, though? The execution just needs to be better?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something – that's a Matt question. I mean, there's some that I'm sure he would like back, you know, and I'm sure our team would like back as well. But, again, I think when you're able to make plays like he does, I think there's a bit of a fine line where you're feeling that. He's still a very young player from the amount of times he's started. And I've always thought it's about, you know – 20 to 26 games before guys really settle into what they're doing. And I think he's a little bit in that time right now as well.
Wait, what? 24 to 26 games before, you know, it clicks? Well, Gabe, give me some good news here, Gabe.
Well, are we including the playoff games or are we not including the playoff games?
Give us both.
Yeah, you got to include them.
Okay, so he has made 25 career starts in the regular season.
What?
27 career starts if you include the two playoff games.
Is it weird that Goody just threw out a range of when he expects guys to kind of sort of settle in, and it happens to be exactly-ish where he is right now? Does that mean after the bye against the Bears, we are going to see second half Jordan show up, Gabe?
Hope so.
That's what Goody's telling us.
Hope so. Because, look,
they're
big players.
They're big on the build-up, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the big plays are certainly there. I mean, you go back and you watch that game against Detroit. They made a couple of big plays. Jaden Reed had some big plays. It's the turnover that just negates all of that. You make a back-breaking turnover, and it can negate a lot. And he's got to clean that up. And Goody recognized that yesterday. LaFleur has recognized it, even though he's sick and tired of answering questions about the turnovers. I think everybody's on the same page. Like, we're really excited about Jordan. However, this has to change.
And I watched that play. You know, I watched that play, and it's coming up on Catch 22.
All 22.
Chew. And if you watch that play, because I heard, well, Jaden Reed is wide open on the play. If you're the fourth read, If you're the fourth read, a lot of times you wide open doesn't matter because the quarterback's never going to get there. And if you look at when he comes open, Jordan Love is already scrambling for his life.
Yeah, I mean, you know? if they protect the play.
You got to just stop looking. You have to look at the things in its entirety, not just a receiver running wide open down the field. Okay? The pot, it already broke down. It's a bad throw by him. He's going to learn from it. But it's just like, as fans, you can't just take bits and pieces. Well, he was wide open on this play. Yeah, he was the ninth read.
Be impressive. You know?
Let me ask you a question, though, too, because I've been wondering this. How do you stop it? How do you fix it? Because I've watched a lot of football, not as much as you, not as much as Gabe. But to me, mm-hmm. that is a panic yeah. move. How do you stop the panic? Right? Like, the processing is happening at warp speed. You're seeing and you're seeing and you're processing. And yet he still... it seems like makes a panic move to try to make a play, risk reward in his head and calculations and all of that stuff, and he still throws that ball. So what I'm asking you is, in the process, where do you stop, pivot, choose your own adventure, another page?
What they did with Brett, and that was a big progression. We all know, you know, he threw a lot of picks early, and then Holmgren got to him, and he got better and better and better. You tell the guy, stop trying to do too much. Live to play another day. Throwing it in the dirt is fine. You know, things like that. See, like when we went to Dallas, Holmgren knew Brett would get too wired up. So he'd have to call routes early in the game to get him comfortable, knowing that he's going to airmail the first couple balls by 5 yards over the receiver's head. And then they calm down. Okay, I didn't like the play call. I just didn't because there's nothing wrong with 3 points at the end of the day on that drive. Would you guys agree with me?
Yeah, I would agree.
LaFleur gets a little bit of like, okay, 5-step drop, 20-yard routes. That's just.
But I mean, you still need to defend that.
Because
you have to still get a chunk play there, don't you? In order to get into field goal range.
You don't have to get a chunk play, but you know they're going to blitz. You know they're going to be in man. And we said it, Gabe. So far this year, Jordan has not been good against the blitz.
No, not very good at all.
And sometimes players got to play. You know what? They're going to be in man. There's nothing wrong with hitting a receiver or a back on an 8-yard route instead of trying to get it all in one thing and letting the back or the receiver make a move to gain yardage. You still had one timeout. And then you can manage it. If you watch that play, those routes were all deep. They were all deep. They were all, they weren't go routes, but they were 15 to 18 yard throws.
Yeah.
Trying to get too much, you know? And that's why that play broke down.
Okay.
It's a good learning thing for Jordan Love. Like, stop trying to do too much. And that's what happens with interceptions, and that's what happened with Brett. Brett still took chances, but that's what made him great. But you know what we had back then to bail us out? A great defense. They don't have that right now.
Right, and that's what I was saying earlier, is that you've got more.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you've got more on Jordan's shoulders. He had a lot. He's always going to have a lot. He's the quarterback of the dang team. But now you have more on his shoulders mm-hmm. because, to Gabe's point, he thinks the defense got worse. And as the defense gets worse, you're putting more on that offense. You're asking more of that offense, score more points, hold the ball longer, don't have the defense on the field as much. Goody said he is not overly concerned with Jordan Love's interceptions. Chu, do you agree with that? Because that was what we started this with, was Goody sort of, I don't want to say making excuses, but sort of like excusing some of the issues that the defense has had, and in this conversation that his quarterback has had. And I think that what he's doing probably is just banking on what happened last season. Oh, we've seen it. We've seen that he can do it. Let's hear from Goody, who said that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. The interceptions, going back to Jordan, that's just something that we didn't see for 2 months mm-hmm. last year. Is that an alarming thing for a young quarterback? And if not, why is it not alarming?
I mean, I think it's how you look at it. I think we see him every day. We see how he works, his focus, and what he's doing. And I think you know, every interception is a little different. And I'm not overly concerned with it. And now it has to, you know, has to get better. I mean, I think we all know that. But at the same time, I'm not overly concerned. I mean, he, you know, the way he works, the way he goes about things, that's just a matter of time, in my opinion.
What would be the harm in saying that we are concerned about it? What would be the harm in saying we're concerned about it? We need it to get cleaned up if we want to make the type of run we made last season.
You know what I think it is? I think it's good cop, bad cop. I think LaFleur's hard on Jordan, and he used a word that was pretty strong. What did he say, Gabe, when addressing the interceptions? He softened it up at the end, but he said foolish or something like that.
Yeah, I can't recall the specific word off the top of my head.
He said after the game, but it was a pretty strong word, and my guess is Goody's the good cop. Goody's the good cop, because you don't want to beat the guy up too much. And like I said, players today are a lot more sensitive than back when I played. I mean, Brett would get his rear end chewed. And I think that LaFleur is the bad cop, and Goody's like, let me temper it down, not panicking. We still love you. You're still our guy. You're still our franchise quarterback. Clean it up a little bit, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, by using the language that he did, to me, because if he steps up there and says, we are concerned, like, the reason why he's not concerned is because he believes it's fixable. Like, he made the qualifier in there. Hey, this has to get better, but he believes it's fixable. So to me, the only reason he would be concerned if he doesn't believe it's fixable. And we all saw what he did, what Jordan did in the second half of last year. We saw that progression be made, and I think that's why, okay, this is fixable, this is correctable. That's why him and LaFleur aren't concerned.
And it's a fine line, too, Jen, because you don't want to take his instincts away, right? You don't want him sitting there going, oh, that's a tight window. Remember Goody said that, and I got yelled at. I'm not going to throw it. I'm just going to take the sack. That's your fear, is he's not willing to thread the needle or make the throw we all know he can make. You don't want that creeping into the back of his head. And like you said, these things happen like bing, bang, so fast. You have to process so fast. And let me tell you what, they ain't going to stop blitzing. I can tell you that. They ain't going to stop blitzing.
Until you show you can handle it.
You guys... Yeah, you guys remember back in the day when Rodgers was in his prime, and D coordinator's like, do we rush him? Do we blitz him? Do we try to keep him in the pocket because he's so good when he gets outside the pocket? How do we play him? Well, that's not going to be the thing with Jordan. They're going to be like, hey, this guy gets flustered under pressure and he'll make dumb mistakes. I guarantee these defenses are going, he's going to give us two shots to pick the ball off, okay, and we have to capitalize. That's what they're going to do.
Which is, by the way, as soon as you said that he's going to give us some shots, my brain, boom, immediately to Charles Woodson, Jay Cutler. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember Charles Woodson?
Jay's going to give us a chance.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want that. We do not want our quarterback to be in the same conversation or to be connected to, by sort of those phrases, to Jay Cutler. So Goody says he is not overly concerned with Jordan Love's interceptions. Are you? We'll put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Feels a little, Chew, I like your theory. I like the good cop, bad cop. Goody's playing good cop. Maybe Tom Clemens and Matt LaFleur are getting on him about it, but Goody's out there in front of the public saying, it's not a big deal. We're not overly concerned. It needs to be fixed, but we'll get it fixed. And I think everybody is really clinging to the second half of last season. Let's cross our fingers that that was not an outlier, that that was not the outlier, that that is an indicator of what we can see to finish up this season. From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. That's Bucks in Six. It's on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six is on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. You can find it on bucks.com/plus. Or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no, cold shrinkage gets involved. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
sent the guys an article that popped on The Athletic. NFL midseason all-rookie team. And the Packers have two. Chew. Did you open up the text message I sent you?
I did. I was just looking at it right now.
So Evan Williams is, according to this list, the best rookie safety in the league currently. And Edgerrin Cooper is the best rookie linebacker in the league currently. Now, I don't disagree with either of these as far as it's not like I'm paying attention to every rookie across the league. So I'm going to trust the fine folks at The Athletic to have done that legwork for me. What I will say is interesting is we just had a conversation about the leash that Goody gives rookie players, especially a transition, right? Like, and now these guys were not in the defense last year, so maybe it's less of a factor for them. But didn't we just hear them saying that, like, he expects it to take some time for guys to transition to the NFL? And yet somehow, Gabe, these guys, and again, I hope you're hearing the sarcasm that I'm throwing on here, because somehow these two have figured out a way to pop in their rookie year in the league. Does that go against the messaging that Goody was putting out there?
I mean, if they become Pro Bowlers or All Pros, maybe a little bit. I mean, they're just going up against other rookies. That being said, Edgerrin Cooper, he puts in there, Cooper might be separate himself as the Packers' best linebacker before the end of the season. So obviously, Cooper has been very productive. The Packers' defense, especially the secondary, has been wildly different since Evan Williams ended up there. Like, there's been a trickle-down effect of Bullard's been really good, but Williams has even been better, and they're able to do some different things when both are on the field, and Williams was sorely missed in that Lions game. So yes, it's amazing that Edgerrin Cooper, despite coming from college, never playing in Jeff Hafley's system before, it's amazing that he's able to come in and have production, given that the defensive line is clearly struggling because...
Well, but you were also saying this morning, like, it's a shock.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So explain that position of, like, if you have this long leash for these guys, how is anyone ever expected to come in and make an impact right away?
Yeah, between the chips, between, you know, you got guys chipping, you know, on the defensive line, brand new scheme. I mean, yeah, you got to give these guys time. It's amazing that anybody is ever able to be productive, and yet here we have Edgerrin Cooper specifically, who is coming into... I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a veteran group at the linebacker spot, but we know how much they like Isaiah McDuffie. Quay Walker was obviously a high draft pick, and Cooper has been able to come in. He's made his errors, certainly, but he's able to been able to come in and make plays and be a productive player for the Packers to the point where we're talking about him potentially being their best linebacker by season's end.
Wasn't he projected to be a first-round pick, though? And there was some issue out there that dropped into the second.
It was late first.
He was a really good play. His what?
Who is this?
Edgerrin Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Edgerrin Cooper. Yeah.
He was mocked there. He was viewed as the best of all the linebackers in that specific draft. They don't usually have first-round value in today's NFL.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that factor into Goody's little timeline there, too. Because I remember we used to talk about it, how they would, you know, like Christian Watson and Jordan Love, you come from a small school or FCS school, it takes a little longer than someone that goes to a Texas A&M or an Oregon or an Alabama. That I buy. Because typically, like I said earlier in the show, if you're not physically ready to play, you might be athletically ready to play in the NFL, but physically not able, then you're a little behind the eight ball. But a lot of these guys from big programs now, like some of the schools I just mentioned, they come in physically ready to play. So what did Goody say? 25 games for a player?
For Jordan. 20 to 26. He said 20 to 26 games.
Yeah. And there was a learning curve because he went to Utah State. I mean, that's a little different than going to Oregon or Alabama or something like that.
I want to go back, Chewy, to the whole, this idea that, oh, man, the scheme, they're adjusting to the scheme. And it's not like they have rookies along that defensive line. Like, if I am going to buy Goody at his face value there and give him, okay, part of the reason that they have had some struggles is the scheme. When you have players like that, how much is that a legitimate excuse? How long can that be a legitimate excuse? half a season, well, which, someone, kind of where they are now?
Like, for someone like Rashawn Gary, who went to a stand-up guy, too, he was a hands-down guy at Michigan.
Correct.
All right. So he should already know what is expected of him in the system. Your interior guys, right? In a 4-3, your interior guys get doubled more because obviously there's five guys on the line in a 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3. Well, Kenny Clark has been getting double teamed his whole career, correct?
Yeah, but also, Chu, like, I mean, that's 25% of the time. I mean, for the most part, the Packers were still playing nickel with, yeah, maybe Rashawn Gary's hand wasn't in the dirt, but they had, I mean, we famously had the interaction where LaFleur had to explain to Wilde last year, well, those outside linebackers are like defensive ends, right? Like, we had that exchange last year.
Yeah.
So if you've got four across the front 75% of the time anyways, like, what are we talking about here?
I agree, and I believe Lucas Van Ness at Iowa had his hand on the ground, too.
Correct.
Now, there, Gabe, there is a big difference with a guy that is a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
In college and gets to the pro and then having to play with your hand on the ground, that's a different deal. That takes time. But both of these guys, matter of fact, all these guys played with their hands down.
But can't you, I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want on third down, right? Like if it's third and 10, if you want to stand up and be an edge rusher, you can kind of do whatever you want, hand up, hand down.
But you still have gap responsibility. And I'm going to show you a play that just blows my mind. It's another Lucas Van Ness moment. It's in the five plays that you picked out, Gabe, for our
just choosing
all 22. All 22.
I was gonna save it. I was gonna save it.
And I was like, hold on, let him
nailed
cook.
It.
What do you mean, let him cook?
He cooked.
If he's burning it, I can't.
But he cooked.
Just because he successfully flipped the grilled cheese one time doesn't mean the other side's not gonna get burned.
Gabe, I'm going to show you the one play on the who's the running back that went for like 20?
Oh, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Into the end zone. Jahmyr Gibbs. I want you to just grade Quay Walker on that play because I know what gap he is responsible for, and you tell me his effort. Okay? You tell me his effort, which is if I was another defender on that defense, I don't know what I would have done. But these are examples of, like, reverting back to the Joe Barry Carroll effort, right? Remember Halfley said, right when they hired him, or 2 weeks after, he says, you know what, after watching all the films of every game, I think there's an effort problem with some players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll be blown away by see, I'm getting mad, and I don't really want to get mad because I already got mad earlier on the show. But, I mean, this is part of it.
He's an angry elf.
Like, sometimes they're all the way in, sometimes they're halfway in.
And so, again, I just want to be clear on this. You think that this year, 2024, this is a half in, or this is a get right so that in 2025 you can cook?
There are some plays, Jen, and obviously I don't dissect the whole film, but there are some plays where the effort – goes back to Joe Barry Carroll. And this is one of those plays. It's just, it's unacceptable. I mean, I remember Coughlin used to back in college, chart loafs. He would chart loafs, you know? I'd just like to know if they do that here.
How many times did you get charted for a loaf?
Well, I had to be split out a lot of times. So I had to run, you know, deep routes.
Oh,
you
the know, excuses are coming through.
You know, and I had a tight hamstring.
You really are cootie this morning. So the reason
I don't loaf on the show, though, do I?
No, never. It's never happened once.
You might be loafing right now.
I plead the fifth. What I wanted to get to was the reason I bring up those rookies, guys, and the reason that it's interesting to me that the Athletic has nailed these Green Bay Packers rookies as the best of the class so far, halfway through, is because at some point you're going to have to pay those guys. If their production continues to click up, you're going to have to pay those guys because you're expecting them to be your starters. You're expecting them to be productive. Does that all factor into, to bring it full circle, the Preston Smith decision? To move on from Preston Smith, somehow freeing up some money, somehow getting cap healthy. I'm just trying to figure out if there's sort of a dovetail here of Goody has some really good rookie players. Doesn't have to pay him tomorrow, but will have to pay the Piper at some point, Gabe. Is there anything to you, that point of like, if you can shed salary and get a seventh round pick, whatevs, you should do it when you can.
Sure as hell hope not. Those guys aren't getting paid for another 3 years. And like you could have saved that money from Preston Smith by just cutting him at the end of the season. Like I'm not worried. And look, I understand he's got to be worried about the health of the salary cap 3 years down the road. But I don't think that Preston Smith was going to be taking up a lot of, you know, salary cap space in 2027 when you got to pay those guys.
But let me ask you this, Gabe. Do they have to declare next year the fifth-year option on Walker and Wyatt?
Yes, they have to do that this upcoming offseason. After their third season, you have to make that declaration going into year four.
Do you think they will?
I don't think they will for Quay. Probably not for Wyatt. I don't know what that number is off the top of my head for a defensive end, but he also, you know, leads the team in sacks with three. So he has played better, Chew, under this defense. Yeah. So I could see them, again, if he continues to progress and plays well over the second half and he stays healthy, I could see them talking themselves into, hey, let's give him the fifth-year option. And you know, because for a defensive interior defensive lineman, I don't know how high that's going to be.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around because I think Goody and Halfley get along. And Goody wants to takes his input and says he just trusts him. I'll be interested to see next year how much turnover there is on this defense because Halfley going, no, he can't play in my system. No, he can't play in my system. And basically not giving him the fifth-year option, I believe, is him saying he can't play in my defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the door, as wild as this seems, because I think for the longest time we all agreed that Quay Walker was a better player than Devontae Wyatt, I think it seems more likely that Wyatt gets that fifth-year option than Quay does at this point.
But those are players that they will have to pay if they want to retain them. And there is information out there that says that the cap hit and the cap space that they cleared by trading Preston Smith is $18.2 million in 2026.
But again, you could have done that by releasing him at the end of the year. It's not like, oh, this is a one-time offer. You can only clear $18 million of cap space if you trade him right now for a seventh-round pick.
I love how your voice got fast there, like you were selling me something. Yeah.
You gotta act now. Act fast.
Late night.
One time offer only.
That's what my grandma would be like, oh no. Pick up her phone, start doing the rotary dial. I'm gonna need that Preston Smith trade to go through. 800-990-3776. A lot of things happening here, but not the Packers getting anybody in the trade deadline. We obviously have talked about Preston Smith being dealt to the Steelers a lot this morning, but we've also talked about Jordan Love and his GM saying he's not concerned about the turnovers. There is good news, right? The good news is we just showed you a couple of players who are considered to be the best of their rookie class at their respective positions. So things are trending up. What I'm concerned about, guys, and I know we got to get to break, is this is still a 6-3 football team.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about is that even though we're kind of picking at some of these things that are you saying the defense got worse, Jordan Love still leading the league in interceptions and whatnot. Like, those are things that we need to get cleaned up. Those are things that we need to address. But also, Packers are still in a really good position to be a playoff team. I guess, Chew, and we'll address this when we come back, the question is, does anything that they have done make you think that they are a Super Bowl team? More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this, Gabe.
The one thing we all will agree on is just how good Palermo's is because they have so many different brands, so many things that they can do with a frozen pizza. Just think about this. Palermo's family of brands includes Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screaming Sicilian, Neighborhood Pizzeria, which is one of my favorites. Although I have been on a Palermo's Rising Crust kick. You should definitely check that out because when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, nobody does it like Palermo's. They've been doing it for 60 years here in the state of Wisconsin. So when it comes to fantastic frozen pizza, Palermo's is the name you should always be thinking of. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Kiwi and saying you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for special events to get you in the festive move. They got a spectacular brunch with Santa, a holiday marketplace, one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, and, of course, you can always extend your experience by booking an overnight stay at St. Kate. Special packages are now available. Celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting their website, stkatearts.com/holidays. All right, we've got that drop. You know the one. The one about Chewy being right and whatnot. I don't know that he's done anything right now to deserve the drop, but I'm using it as a point of reference because I was Gabe, help me out here.
I believe the word you're searching for is wrong.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, wrong. You are not right.
Like,
you are incorrect.
Why is there a W in front of wrong, Gabe?
I'm like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar right now. The pen is royal blue. I said in the Wilde and Tausch Boldathon that I thought the Packers were going to sweep the NFC North. So far, they're ofer. They've ofered the North. And Chewy, that brought up a moment for you. First of all, Shart and Farter. Like, you love it when people
are certain
parties. But you had a question yesterday about the likelihood of it going the other way.
I am not picking them to win at Minnesota. I am not picking them to win at Detroit.
So that leaves two games against the Bears.
I mean, hold on. But this is the Bears Super Bowl. Can the Bears beat them at home? I don't think they lose to the Bears in Lambeau. Although if that game at the end of the year, I believe it is the last game, means nothing and they're not in the playoffs for whatever reason, then it's scary. So,
well, if you're not picking them to win at Minnesota, you're not picking them to win at Detroit, if you're going to pick them to lose at the Bears, like, playoffs become questionable very quickly.
I think if you lose to the Vikings twice, you're out.
I don't know about the playoffs.
I think the Vikings get the wild card.
Well, but you're not limited to just one per division.
Oh, I know, but the likelihood of them having lost four games in the division and getting in the playoffs over a second place team in another division, they'd be the third place team in their division, cross your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be second place teams in other NFC divisions. I'm just playing the odds here.
Yeah, but I mean, two of those divisions stink.
Yeah, that's true. What is one of the teams 4-4 or
something
crazy?
Yeah, that's what
like
I'm
that?
Saying. Like right now, the South second place team is 4-5. The West second place team is 4-4. So I think
you don't believe San Fran's going to turn it around.
But they're only going to have one team.
Arizona's going to continue to.
I think only one team is going to come out of the West, and only one team is going to come out of the South. I think the Central will have two teams. Or the North, excuse me.
I was
me.
Like, what?
Jesus, I just had a Chewy moment. It's called the NFC North, the Central. I'm going to start calling the Chargers San Diego soon. Like, oh, man. Is this what I have to look forward to?
Well, just out of curiosity.
Do I think they're going to get swept?
Where do the Raiders play, Gabe?
Do I think they're going to get...
Oakland.
That's what I thought. Yeah, we have a problem.
Do I think they're going to get swept? No, I don't.
Okay.
Do I think they could split? Do I think they could split with the Bears? Yeah, I kind of do.
So 1-5 in the division?
Okay, that's crazy talk to me. Again, I'm not saying that
all
you're
right,
wrong.
Well, tell me.
Because, I was wrong at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
There it is. I said it. Now nobody will make me say it again, right? Just snuck it in there. That's crazy to say that this Green Bay Packers team, who we had such high hopes for headed into the season, coming off of Jordan Love's performance in the second half of last year, would have one win in the division?
If that happens, then I've got questions about the playoffs. Because that's three more losses in your last eight, if you think they only have one win. I mean, half the remaining games are divisional games. And if you're capable of losing three of those four, you're certainly capable of losing to San Francisco. You're capable of losing at Seattle. Like, the Saints game is what it is. Like, they're just not a very good team. But I would have some serious questions about the postseason if they can't, at minimum, go 2-2 in the division the rest
of
the way.
Is that a recipe, though, Chew, to miss the playoffs, to win all of the remaining games except for your divisional games? Because, theoretically, wouldn't you finish 11-6? If you lose to the Lions, the Vikings, yep. the Bears, and the Bears, that's four.
Yeah, so that would put you
seven. You'd be ten and seven.
10-7 would get you in. 10-7, you're a wild card.
I mean, I'm not counting out the West yet, the NFC West. I don't think San Francisco's dead in the water at 4-4.
No.
I don't. And then the Rams with Puka and Cooper Kupp are better. They could go on a run. And then do you buy Arizona right now?
I don't. I think they're a decent team, but I just... The problem with the Rams, Chu, is the caveat with the Rams is always, well, if they're healthy. Well, when the hell is that team healthy?
Yeah.
Well, you know? Wasn't there... it didn't happen, but there was talk of them shopping Cooper Kupp. Wasn't that a whole thing of, like, shopping your Super Bowl MVP? Wild. I want to get to this question specifically, Chu. What will the Packers' record be in the NFC North by season's end? If you're telling me 1-5.
1-5.
I'll say 2-4.
Okay.
So they're going to steal one somewhere, or they're going to sweep
the
Bears?
I'm going to pick them. I think they'll sweep. What do you guys think the line's going to be in 2 weeks?
They'll be favored.
Because the Bears play the Patriots. The Bears are going to beat the Patriots. They're going to look better. And then you got Green Bay. What do you think, 3 Packers?
Yeah. Packers will be favored by 3 on the road. That's my prediction.
And let's not forget, the Bears last year stunk first half of the season and then turned it on. So I don't know if that means they're a second half team or whatever, but they turned it on at the end of the year last year. And this is going to be, I mean, I think it's a bigger game for the Bears than it is the Packers.
Well, Eberflus is coaching for his job, you know, like that entire coaching staff. And that is all on the line, certainly for the Bears. But yeah, I mean, that is going to be a bigger game than I think we're all willing to admit. Because the Bears are going to come into that. Yes. I'm with you. They're going to beat New England. And they're going to be 5-4. Like, if the Bears win that game...
And Scott...
If the Bears win that game, the Packers are in last place in the division.
How did the Packers beat the Lions last year on Thanksgiving? Like, what was the blueprint? Because if we hope, which we are hoping, that the second half of this season mirrors the second half of last season, that was a big game. The Packers went in there, they were not expected to win, and they dominated from start to finish. So is there any part of any of y'all that thinks that the Packers could split with the Lions, split with the Vikings, sweep the Bears, and have a winning record in the division this year?
Yeah, I think that's possible.
You know why they won that game, though? You know why they won that game? Because they beat Kansas City in that game a ton of confidence.
I don't want to mess with your timeline. Right? I don't want to mess with your timeline, Chu.
But
I really don't want to. I don't want to correct you in this instance.
That was not after, Gabe.
Kansas City was after Detroit.
Was it after?
Yeah. They beat Kansas City. They beat Detroit, which probably gave them the confidence to beat Kansas City. But yeah, that was the order of operations.
I remember correctly, they turned the ball over, right? The Lions turned the ball over several times, and that was a big reason.
Yeah. Goff didn't have any interceptions.
It was fumbles. Fast start.
Yeah. Yeah, he lost 3 fumbles.
Packers had the fast start, that's right, and they got pressure on Goff all afternoon.
Oh,
I know, the P word.
Yeah.
Not potato, which you think it is when you think of the P word here on Jen Gabe and Chewy.
Oh, so you're telling me a key to winning in Detroit would be getting pressure on Jared Goff. I was willing to go, yeah, Jen, I can do this. I can get behind you until you said that.
I'm just saying what they did last year, Gabe. I'm not saying it's the blueprint for success this year. I'm just telling you what they did last year to go into Detroit and get a win on Thanksgiving Day.
To your point, yes. Do I think that's possible? Yes. I think it's more likely that they beat Minnesota, lose to Detroit, sweep Chicago, finish 3-3 in the division.
What do you think, Joshy?
I think 3-3 is the bet, and I like the way Gabe said it. You can switch Minnesota or Detroit to me. That I think they can win one of those games. I don't know which one, but I think the Bears are trajectories downward. I don't think
they've been playing worse.
Yeah, I don't think Eberflus makes it through the season, and I think they might get the one game bounce back, and maybe that's against the Packers, but it doesn't seem great.
I would be pretty nervous for that Bears game if they lose to New England.
What's crazy, though, is...
Because then they would fire Eberflus, and then you get that bounce back, like that interim coach bounce back that Josh was talking about.
3-3, 1 in the math. It doesn't sound like anyone here thinks that they can have a winning record in the division. That 0-2 albatross is hanging around their neck.
Yeah.
It's going to be very tough. It is an uphill battle. And again, I will start with, I thought they could sweep the division, and here we are. They haven't got a win yet.
You also weren't factoring in that Minnesota would be this good when you made that prediction. That's the wild card here. Nobody thought that Minnesota would be this good.
And then Detroit is going to be playing for that number one seed, so they're going to have juice.
Oh, 100%. That's going to be, I mean, because we were going into that second Lions game, Chew, has the potential to be bigger than the one we just played. Everybody was saying that how big a game that Lions game was. The game at Detroit's even bigger if the Packers beat, you know, if the Packers get a little bit of a winning streak going here.
So we're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Given the 0-2 start to the season and Jen being way, way, way wrong, what do you think that their record will be in the NFC North?
The poll's already up. 3-3 is leading. Optimism.
That's optimism?
Yeah, it's 3-1 the rest of the way.
I suppose, yeah, I guess.
It's a great way of losses.
Math has always been a struggle for me, Gabe. So, yes, that is exactly how that works. All right, we'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap things up right after this.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. I've got my Mentality checkup appointment today to make sure that my testosterone levels are where they need to be. Because, well, I work with them. Why? Well, because I was kind of tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Thought it was just part of getting older, but it doesn't have to be that way. If your testosterone levels are low, Mentality can help you with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. And like I said, I've got a follow-up appointment today, constantly checking in to make sure that my testosterone levels are where they need to be, and they can do the same for you. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Saying they're going to miss the playoffs, but they got the picks for the Green Bay draft the 1 year, like Chewy said. I guess maybe there's a Chewy was right looming there in the distance, but we shall see. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody!